Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description.
Did you use the phone?
Yeah.
You didn't talk to nobody, did you?
There was someone there. They're looking for you, I think. It must have been the station or something, right?
All right. Okay. I'll deal with that.
I'm sorry.
Tomorrow. It's fine. You notice that there is a picture frame. You see a picture of the sheriff, and standing next to him is another man. And it kind of looks like a wedding photo. The three of you wake up to the sound of a car engine rumbling.
Dakota, Dorothy, it's morning.
Dorothy is freaking out.
You take a look through it. You see what looks to be tile flooring, like, whizzing
what?
By.
What?
Walter, you are driving through the hallways of Sublime County's School for Lost Children.
What do you see? What are you kind of whispering through, like, the seat hole?
We're in a school.
Here's my idea. You let us out, you go for the break, and then I'll restrain her. How does that sound?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I'll see what I can do.
You pull this emergency brake, and, like, the car goes into, like, a spin as, like, the front wheels of this, like, kind of just get pulled and, like, forced into a stop, the back wheel still going.
I give Dakota the gun.
I'm gonna put that to her head.
Jesus! Fuck! Put down that weapon at once!
We were locked in the trunk of a car.
Get out of the car and come with me. We have a lot of paperwork that needs to be signed before you are to start classes. The three of you start slowly going up the stairs, following this large sheet man, leaving the wreckage of this Pontiac Firebird and the half-unconscious woman. Our camera fades back in with the three of you climbing these large stairs from a floor of this building, following behind this large sheep teacher, dressed in, like, all tweed and, like, a button down and tie. And he's walking upstairs, kind of just leading the way as the three of you follow. As we kind of start here for a moment, I just kind of want to check in. Where's your heads at? Just going down the line, starting at, let's start with Walter. What's Walter thinking as he's, like, kind of climbing these stairs? I'm imagining it's a lot of work for Walter as a weasel.
Yeah. I mean, he is partially just sort of occupied with that. Just like, okay, I gotta do this. Gotta climb these stairs. But Also, like, I think the main thought on his mind is, like, this is not where we should be right now. Like, mm-hmm. It might not be, like, dire to get out of here. Like, this isn't yet a, you know, blow everything up and run scenario. But it is, this is not the ideal place to be, and Walter knows it.
Gotcha.
I'd put him in, like, he is nervous, maybe, but not panicking.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Dorothy, how are you feeling?
Dorothy is probably still shaky. She's had a full-blown panic attack in the back of the trunk. She's not doing great, and she doesn't feel great about the fact that everybody was going and then she kind of got left for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
She's questioning a lot of things and not feeling great.
Completely understandable. Let's talk about that. Do you think that she is still in, like, this panic attack? Like,
I think is so. If she's not in it currently, she's still on that, like, coming down from it, where she's just pumped full of, like, adrenaline and, like, shaky and, like, just... If she's not still actively in it, she's on the come down. So either one, she's quiet, trying not to, like, sob still.
Mm-hmm.
But she got left in the hallway and she's kind of walking to catch up with Walter and Dakota, so...
Gotcha. So you imagine her, like, lagging behind.
Yeah.
Still kind of, like, heavy breathing and, like, kind of shaky. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And Dakota, what about you?
Yeah. I would imagine that Dakota is, or not even imagine, I know that Dakota is kind of, the adrenaline's running off from the situation and thoughts are flooding through their head. Getting out of the car and seeing a hallway full of people staring directly at them, she is very much so, like, shaken and basically just, like, reanalyzing everything that they did under that lens.
Mm-hmm.
Very much, like, feeling ashamed, feeling embarrassed, and then just following Walter wherever he's going and just, like, kind of ignoring everything else, very much in sort of, like, a disconnection with themselves and a disconnection with reality. Yeah. To some degree.
Gotcha. And kind of looking at it from, like, this outside perspective.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Believe it or not, pulling a gun on somebody leaves a bit of a mark on you.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you have a gun in your back pocket.
Yep.
How does she feel about that specifically?
Oh, terrified. No idea how to use it. Grabbed it in the spur of the moment. So, yeah. More or less, like, it's an amplifier of the terror and dread that she feels.
Yeah. She's kind of this burning thing in the back of her mind. Just like, this is a thing you have. It is dangerous. And it is... Yeah. Okay. Cool. Do you think that she... With all that said, do you think that she recognizes how Dorothy is feeling in this moment?
No. Not at all. Not at all.
Gotcha. Cool. All right. So the three of you climb these stairs up one flight and then up another. And eventually you come into this large kind of open hallway in comparison to the lower ones, which seem to be hallways for, like, classrooms that had lockers along the walls. And again, these lockers and, like, these walls and the ceiling and the floor, while still, like, rooted in that kind of architecture, which you would imagine from a high school, with these kind of off-white speckled tile floors and the white, what is that, like, plaster, like, ceilings. All of that is kind of covered in this strange foliage with vines and roots coming down from the walls and into the floors. The skylights for every single floor, rather than being, like, one of those just long fluorescent, like, lights, is an open hole that seems to lead, like, outside, and there's kind of glass over that kind of, like, sun skylights in the ceilings. And on every single floor, it has one of these, despite the fact that on lower floors, that shouldn't work. But instead of, like, opening up to just whatever interior ceiling wall stuff, wiring and stuff that has to be there, it still just has the skylight that has sunlight coming in that shines and illuminates these halls. And on the very top floor, you see this very kind of grand looking hall with the sides of the walls, like their supports rather than being just kind of bland brick, mortar, plaster kind of deals. It's these marble pillars that are supporting the roof here. Each of the pillars being entwined with vines of thorns and roses and all kind of foliage and the same kind of like mossy growth that's like peeking out between some of the tiling and like bits of grass and like dandelions. And you see just like this kind of administrative hallway that lead into a bunch of different offices. And the professor in front of you kind of turns to make sure you're all still following, lowers his like kind of glasses looking at you, Walter, as you like finally make it to the very top of these stairs. And he says, "Do not dawdle. The principal will be waiting for you. Come, follow me."
Yeah, of course. Wouldn't dream of dawdling.
And he kind of turns and makes his way down this hallway to this large double wooden doors. These like grand wooden doors with carvings in them, and it's this very like naturalistic kind of carving where it looks like an open field with hills and a forest and like small animals that are like within the wood carvings of this door. And the knobs, rather than being like regular like kind of door like handles, they are like what look like tree branches that grow out of the doors, kind of curve and then back in to be handles. And he takes the handle, opens up the door, and then rather than walking in, like kind of stands out of it and motions for the three of you to enter what looks like from the outside just kind of this office. What do you do?
This is definitely something that's not foreign to Dakota, so she kind of just hangs her head and walks through, just looking at it, like, at her feet, basically, and, like, fiddling with Dorothy's things that are in her hands.
Mm-hmm.
Just following behind.
Walter kind of walks near Dakota as they're walking in and just kind of mutters, "Yeah, but please don't do anything stupid here, okay?"
"I know, I won't."
Gosh.
The three of you enter this office, and it looks just kind of like your typical principal's office, where there's a large portion of the area that's kind of blocked off by like a counter and like a desk that's behind it. There is a lady sitting back there behind the desk. There's this old like kind of boxy like CRT computer that she's working at. You notice, very similarly to the sheep, this lady is also an animal, and she is a parrot. Sorry, I'm using my random animals generator. So she is a parrot. I'm imagining that she has like typical kind of like office like desk attendant kind of, where she's wearing like a little button up, maybe like kind of a scarf. And but she also has like these bright green feathers and like a small like kind of orange beak. And she has these little bitty like glasses that kind of like come over her beak, and she's like just tapping away at her computer and takes no notice of the four of you as you walk in, the professor walking in behind you. And he calls out to her and says, "Mrs. Jackson, if you wouldn't mind, is the principal available at the moment?" And she goes,
"You're gonna have to wait. He's in a meeting."
"Very well. The three of you sit down here." And he kind of points to these chairs that are lined up against the wall, like on the back side, on the same side as the door that you just walked in. And says, "Mrs. Jackson, can you make sure that the three of these students have a talk about their recent transfer to our school?" She goes, "All right, talk." And he turns and goes back out the door he came. And leaving the three of you in this office, she's not the only person in here at a desk. There are a few desks in here. And you see, like, multiple people just kind of going back and forth, filing. It seems very much just like kind of a normal school, except all of the staff members are various animals. And not in the same way that Walter is an animal, where he, like, is the actual, like, kind of size and proportion that you would imagine from a weasel. But in the way where they seem like almost anthropomorphic. Versions. Yeah, I did it. Versions of whatever animals they're supposed to be.
This question is not gonna matter, but it matters to me. Mm-hmm. Does Mrs. Jackson have like people hands, or is she typing at the keyboard with her beak?
She's using her feathers, or like, is this pecking? Is she chicken peck at the beak?
This is very important for me.
I'm imagining she is using her feather hands to type at the computer, not her beak.
So much less funny. Dang it.
Now, this is just how she types to the computer. How she does other things, who knows?
Who knows?
Walter says, "Yeah, how's it going, Ms. J? Good to see you again."
She takes a moment. She like kind of perks up, like recognizing the voice, and like kind of turns to look at the three of you, but can't see you, Walter, because you're like lower than the height of the desk. And so she turns to the two of you, realizing it can't be either of you who just said it, like cranes her neck and like looks over the desk to see you down there and says, "Walter?
Yeah.
Well, how are you, boy?"
I've been better, been worse, yeah.
I didn't think you still went here, Scott.
Oh no, I don't. I've found other opportunities to pursue, and I have parted ways with this establishment.
She kind of like, you see her narrow her eyes looking at you, kind of like, so why are you here, kind of deal.
It's I'm here on business.
You see her nod, and like not in a super convinced kind of way, but in a more of a I think that's probably as much as I'm gonna get out of this kid kind of way.
Right.
And looks back up at the two of you, Dorothy and Dakota, and kind of motions, "Go take a seat. I'll let you know when he's ready." Ah!
Dakota still looking at her feet, just shuffles over and takes a seat.
Dorothy's gonna wander over as well, but she's gonna stop in front of Dakota and put her hand out for her bucket and her flashlight. Not really making eye contact with Dakota, but just like demanding her stuff.
Dakota doesn't see you.
Dakota, I want my stuff back.
What?
I'd like my stuff back.
Dakota looks down and sets Dorothy's things on the ground.
Dorothy takes them and sits a chair away. I'm actually going to not sit in the chair. I'm going to sit like on the ground with like my back against like the legs of the chairs. And I'm going to put, and the pumpkin is like between my legs. I'm going to look inside for that turtle. Is the turtle still there?
Yeah, the turtle is still there. You see, he's come out of his little shell and is just gnawing on a piece of like leftover Kit Kat that is just like like chewing on, like trying to tear the wrapper off of it.
Amazing. And I'm going to take out the salt shaker and I'm just going to kind of toy with that as I'm sitting there.
Okay. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Walter?
I think that now is when Walter kind of notices that the others are maybe not doing so well. And I think he's just gonna go over. He kind of goes like, and then like doesn't necessarily know what to say. So he just hops up and sits on the seat between Dorothy and Dakota. And I think he just sits there and he's like looking to them, trying to figure out what to say.
Oh, bad, y'all.
So the three of you kind of sit in silence for a bit, quite a bit. Feels like hours even. is how long. You all, like, just sit here, and it's, like, just the clacking of the computer, the, like, kind of shuffling around of some people. There's no, like, real phone call, so there's not, like, you don't even get, like, the occasional, like, ring, 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 ring to, like, kind of break up the monotony. It's just the same quiet office murmuring and, like, white noise that just kind of plays on, and you all just sit here, and you wait.
Dorothy's gonna go up to the desk with Ms. Jackson. Mm-hmm. Is there a bathroom I could use?
Bathroom? Yeah. And she kind of turns her neck without really turning her like body, and points with her beak, in like a direction like down one of like on the other side of like the like desks and like. Kind of actual, like, kind of office part.
Dorothy's gonna slink off to the bathroom.
All right. Keeping her pumpkin and flashlight with her.
Mm-hmm. Not letting those things out of her sight again.
Sounds good. Yeah, we follow you to the bathroom. You pass by, like, a few, like, office doors of, like, you see people, animal people, like, in there doing work. You pass by, like, a water cooler where, like, a monkey person and, like, a lizard are, like, having some water cooler chat. And eventually you find your way to this door that says restroom on it. And you open it up, and it's, like, one of those single, like, person bathrooms where it's just got, like, a toilet, a sink, and it's, like, a small, like, maybe 5 by 8 room. Mm-hmm. That's like just for this, and it's got all the same kind of weird naturalistic like vines like growing like over the bathroom sink, and like around the mirror, and the door handle is also the same kind of like root that just kind of grows out of the door and then like curves and then back in.
That's kind of sick.
I'm going to go over to the sink. I'm going to wash my face.
Okay.
Cold water. And then I'm going to take the turtle out of my bucket. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna like plug the sink real quick and like fill it with a little bit of water and put the turtle in the water for a little bit. Let him soak for a little bit because he's been in my pumpkin for a while now.
Yeah,
that's so good. That's so good.
That is really good. You take this pumpkin out, you put it in the sink, and it kind of like paddles a little bit in the water, like kind of moves a bit, like gets to the side, and then just kind of sits there and rests for a bit, and then like starts moving through the water again.
Amazing. I'm just going to watch this turtle for a while and think really hard about what to name him, because that's an important decision that Dorothy hasn't made yet.
Gotcha.
Otherwise, yeah, just kind of going to stare myself down in the mirror and try to, like, get a handle on myself again.
Yeah. I think as you are, like, sitting here thinking about what to name this turtle and, like, looking yourself in a mirror, you hear a voice behind you.
God, following me into the bathroom, rude.
You hear a voice behind you that goes, what are you gonna name him? And you turn around.
Holy shit.
What?
And
holy shit.
Yes? Hello?
I think I know what this is.
You turn around, and it is Elsie. She is... describe to me, how does Elsie look?
Elsie is about the same height as Dorothy. She's got long, brownish hair and a bunch of freckles. And her hair is, like, braided in two little braids. And she's wearing, like... I like to think, like, one of those little, like, kid overall kind of deals. Mm-hmm. And some like little Converse kind of deal. Like, she's a very outdoorsy looking kind of kid.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna say all of that, and like over like the kind of overalls, she has a white sweater like kind of like, yeah, like a white sweater, like a white hoodie, with the black letter S on it. And and a similar kind of like gray cap that Dorothy has.
I haven't decided yet. I didn't really expect to hang on to him this long.
He seems like he'd be a good friend. He stayed around this long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you okay?
No.
Oh.
But you know that already.
Yeah. She kind of looks down at her feet, kind of kicks it, like against the, kicking at nothing, against the ground.
I'm sorry, I got so scared. I tried to be brave like Hazel was.
You don't have to be sorry. It was scary.
Yeah. Elsie, I don't know what to do. I just want to go home.
I mean, I don't know if we can get home. What if this is home now?
Here? With Dakota and Walter?
I mean, yeah.
They don't like me.
I guess you're right. Well, maybe you can find new people. Like the sheriff. He seemed pretty nice.
Yeah. Maybe it should just be you and me, and we can find, maybe.
We can find a new place, with new people and new friends.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what the sheriff said he was going to do, right? Maybe there's a way to find a new family, people who will like us.
Yeah, yeah, there's got to be someone. I mean, maybe I just want Hazel back. Do you think we could find Hazel?
Maybe. She might even be here.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, Elsie. It's just you and me.
You and me.
And we're gonna find a place.
She gives you like this big smile and like goes to give you like a big hug. And like, do you hug her back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the two of you just kind of like embrace as you two are like hugging in this weird woodsy bathroom. This little black turtle.
Me and Timmy. And I pulled up the little turtle.
Timmy's a good name.
I think so too.
Just the three of us.
That's all I need. I don't need anyone else.
She smiles.
All right. Yeah. Okay, Dorothy's, yeah, gonna take Timmy and she's gonna unwrap that little piece, the little Kit Kat, and split it in half, and she's gonna eat one half and give the other half to Timmy in the bottom of the pumpkin again.
He nibbles at it.
Yeah. And then she's gonna like look in the mirror one more time and give Elsie a thumbs up.
You give Elsie a thumbs up. She gives you one back and says, "We've got this."
Salt to my pepper.
The pepper and my salt.
I'm going to go ahead and head back out to the waiting room then.
Okay. Awesome.
Y'all hear none of that, so.
Y'all heard, yeah, heard not a single word of it. While Dorothy is in the bathroom, Dakota, you and Walter are out here. Do either of you do anything for the time that Dorothy's in the bathroom?
Walter doesn't, I think he still doesn't know what is the right thing to say, but I think he feels that he needs to say something.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, you did good back there, you know, acting under pressure and all that. It was good. I know it probably doesn't, you know, make the situation any better to hear that, but you know, it's the truth.
They're gonna tell the abbots.
What's that?
They're gonna tell the abbots.
The abbot is that? No one's telling anything. Telling anyone anything. Okay.
Walter, they're gonna tell the abbots, and then they're gonna send Dorothy and I away, and it's gonna be my fault.
No. Listen to me. They won't do anything, okay?
I fucked it up for me, and I'm gonna fuck it up for her, too, and it's not her fault.
Hey. You listen to me, okay? That kid, She will follow you to the ends of the earth. If you want it.
She doesn't need to follow someone like me.
You're exactly what she needs.
No, I'm not.
You are. You are.
I'm just going to ruin every chance she has at finding a family.
Walter goes silent for a minute. And he says, you know, I never thought having a family of any kind was, I never thought it was all it was cracked up to be. But I miss it a little bit, you know. And as long as I'm still breathing air, I'm going to be fighting for you and Dorothy. Get back to your families, okay?
Fighting seems to make everything worse. That's how we ended up in this mess anyways.
It is around this time that that Dorothy starts walking back from the bathroom. And the two of you kind of see, like, out of the corner of your eyes as she, like, makes her way back from the bathroom, like, holding her little pumpkin, chewing on a Kit Kat. And Dorothy, do you look any different as far as, like, just your countenance?
I don't think I look super different, but I'm less pale, for sure. I've regained some color in my face. I'm kind of, I have a little bit of, like, a dead set kind of air to me now. Like, I've decided something. I'm set on something. But otherwise, there's nothing huge.
Okay. Cool. Dorothy, as you are approaching, you see what looks like kind of like Walter and Dakota might have been like having some kind of conversation. But before you fully make it back, you see the doors of the kind of like larger office that has like, you know, the principal like in like gold, has like a golden plaque on the top of it. You see the double doors kind of open and out walks this young girl. She is wearing a green kind of like school uniform. I'm imagining it's like a black, green, and a white kind of plaid skirt. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's wearing like a matching like skirt and vest and like a button-down white shirt under it. And she is this young girl, maybe like 12 or 13, just a little bit younger than Dakota. She's got an olive complexion, curly dark hair that's been tied into like two almost kind of buns, like on either side of her head. Her eyes are like red and puffy, like she just got done crying. And in her hand, she is holding what looks to be a brown version of the same uniform that she's wearing right now. And behind her, you see like a figure like coming out from the office behind her as she's walking. And you hear, Miss Marley, please do go change and then report to your new classroom post haste. And you see this large owl man. The type of owl I'm imagining is like, you know, the ones with like the really like kind of flat, large face with like kind of smaller. Barn owl. Is
that the type of like, owl? Like the one in Avatar, like those.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Wait, hold on.
It's a barn owl. Absolutely. I just googled it.
Oh, the best kind.
Where they have like the flat kind of face and like the beak is like in it like a V shape that's like close and like their face kind of is angular in like an almost triangular way, but like towards the eyes it like gets flatter and almost looks like if you've taken like a tree, sawn it like saw right through it, and it's like that flat kind of part is kind of what the owl's face look like. They look super dope and very creepy.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And so yeah, 100%. This principal comes out. He's wearing, I'm imagining like a black button down with like white like flecks across it. He's wearing a red like suit vest and like matching slacks, and has these big hand wings, like feathery hand wings, and like towers over this girl. He is like maybe 6.5 feet tall. He's like a tall dude. And this like young girl goes like walking out. She's like still like, her eyes are puffy, like she's finished, been like just finished crying, but she definitely looks like she's about to start crying again as she kind of rushes along, like past you all, like not looking at you, head down, and you see she starts heading in the direction that you just came from, Dorothy, like she's going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Jackson turns and says,
Principal Ingram? You have 3 new students who have been transferred.
And he turns to look at the 3 of you, kind of like eyes scan across you, like fixates on you for a moment, Walter.
Shit. Oh my God. I just thought, oh my God.
And you see like the weird, like kind of eye focusing where like his eyes dilate and then, like contract again.
Walter looks away
and says, "Into my office," and just turns and walks back in.
Dakota just kind of, that's gonna be, just kind of takes her sleeve and wipes their eyes and just does a big like and just kind of stands up and shuffles into the office.
Yep, I walk in right behind.
Yeah, Walter is the last to walk in.
That tracks.
That tracks. Okay, yeah.
Just to be clear, you said their name was Ingram?
Yes, Principal Albert Ingram.
Albert, nice.
Owlbert?
Albert,
yeah. Yeah, sure, why not? O-W-L-B-E-R-T Ingram.
Yes.
Awesome. I'm making that change in my notes. Okay.
Important.
Very important that we know his name is Owlbert. Hey everybody, it's me, Kendrick, your game master and host here at Tales Yet Told. I'm so sorry to have to interrupt the episode, but we've got a little bit of housekeeping we need to do. So buckle on up, sit on down, and I'll try to make this as quick as possible for you, because I know you are just racing to get back to the episode. So first of all, as always, thank you all so much for watching, or listening, I suppose, to the episodes, or to the show, just in general. It means so much to us, and like to the point where we have very few words to truly express how much we actually appreciate you all listening and enjoying this thing that we worked so hard to create. And one way that you can help us is by leaving a review or rating on iTunes or Apple Podcast, I think is what it's called now. It just helps us be able to spread awareness of the show and kind of let people know what they're in for. So if you could do that, that would be awesome. And if you want any more information about the show in general, or just keeping up with what we're doing and seeing maybe even some of the art that we're releasing, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Tales Yet Told. It's pretty simple. I'm glad that we were able to get that, because otherwise we'd have to do like one of the weird things like Tales Yet Told Pod or something like that. But thankfully we don't have to do that. You can just follow us right at Tales Yet Told. Next up, I want to shout out to the Be Gay Roll Dice Network for embracing us with open arms and allowing us to be a part of this amazing community filled with wonderful queer creators trying to tell stories that are, you know, about people like us. They're great. We love them, and you should go listen to their podcasts. In fact, I think I have an ad for one of them right now. Oh, yeah, I do. So yeah, that's going to start playing in a couple of seconds, but until I get to see you again, don't forget to take care of yourself, drink enough water, eat enough food, and don't forget to love yourself like I love you. Bye!
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system, made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyberplus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, Badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyberplus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive hollow foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyberplus Punk Overload. And good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to.
Welcome to the world of Super Idols RPG, where superpowers exist, but only among those with dreams of pop star fame and glory. Anyone who believes in that dream can be a super idol, be they an awkward gothic Lolita.
Yeah, Valerie has her phone out. Her phone screen's not on. Oh, if anyone no. looks closely.
A recovering mean girl.
Just to establish for no weird reason at all, but you all do go to this school, right?
An excitable fanboy.
Can you, I'm really shy, but can you ask him if they could sign my jumper? Wait, hold on. Oh no, I transformed. Can I have their autograph?
A literal queen bee.
Sorry to kill your buzz, honey, but you just have to get used to the sting of disappointment.
Or a mischievous rapper.
Lucia makes more clones of herself so she can have a huddle.
Aww.
Join the members of Rhythmix as they reach for the stars in the second exciting arc of Super Idols RPG, a queer, diverse, narrative-focused masks campaign with elements of high school comedy, magical girl anime, showbiz drama, and superhero action. New episodes release every 3 weeks on Sundays. Check out superidolsrpg.wordpress.com. For more details.
So the three of you walk into this office. Walter, this is not the first time you've been in here.
Yeah.
But the three of you walk into this kind of strangely like dark office in comparison to like every other place that you've been in the school that has had roughly like pretty bright sunlit areas. This one is kind of like dim lighting. It's this small cozy office with dark green and brown carpet, kind of like it's that like kind of shag carpeting, you know, and so it kind of has this like weird grassy kind of effect. In here there are like these large wooden bookshelves that looks like they were like grown from the sides of the walls and like kind of just were grown in that way. You see there's like this nice little cabinet with like a stained glass like doors for them that looks like a liquor cabinet of some kind. And like this large mahogany desk that also looks like it's just grown straight from the ground and into this shape. And it's got little bits of vines and like leaves growing off of like branches that are like built into, that are like grown out from this desk. And on the back part of the wall, like as soon as you come in, on the other side of this desk, kind of overlooking this entire room, is this large portrait. And it's strange to look at. He's got like these really weird, off-putting, almost kind of surreal kind of kind of art. You all can look this up. Basquiat is Basquiat. Yeah. So I'm imagining it's this real like Basquiat-esque kind of painting with lots of like pale like yellows and blues, and in the middle is this like dark figure with a very scratchily like drawn like feather pen in one hand and a camera in the other. And it's like this really strange like black and white figure where like you can kind of see like the black is like the body of it, and like the white are like sketchings, and like the way they're kind of like outlined make them seem like bones at one point, and then at other points it seems almost like vines or like branches from a tree kind of growing through the body. And it's got these really large red eyes with like black and white pupils that just like stare down directly at you. And
not terrifying.
Principal Ingram walks over to his liquor cabinet, opens it up, takes out like a bottle of brandy, pours a glass. Closes it, puts it back in, closes the cabinet, and goes to sit down behind his desk.
Actually, that's an intense man.
Very. He sits down at his desk, turns to look at the three of you. As do you all sit? There are enough chairs. There are actually only two chairs in here.
Dakota stands.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll sit. It's fine.
Yeah.
Dorothy, you sit. Walter, you sit at the other. And
yep.
Dakota, I kind of imagine you like standing like in between them. Just like a little bit back behind them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Principal Ingram looks over the three of you and then like looks down to you, Walter, and says, I wasn't imagining I would see you grace these halls ever again, Mr. Walter.
I don't really think I'd be back either.
And the two of you, he turns to like look up back at the two of you, Dorothy and Dakota, says, you all are the new students here at Sublime County School for Lost Children. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Speak up, child.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Then it is my duty as principal to formally welcome you all to our esteemed academy. The Sublime County School for Lost Children has long since stood as the prime re-education center here within the Sublime. And we have a 80% passing rate, which, if I do say so myself, is rather commendable. Except for a few people who seem to slip through the cracks. He turns to look at you again, Walter. Most children leave our academy as bright, beautiful, bold and intelligent young students ready to find their place within the Sublime. Do you two believe you are ready to find your home?
Yes, sir.
You're not mad at us?
Mad? Why would I be mad?
I was just fighting that woman in the hall.
Fighting a woman in... What? This is the first I'm hearing of it. And you see he turns over. He's got like a little... not an intercom, just like his phone, presses a button on it and says, Miss Jackson, what is this I hear about a fight in the halls of our academy? You hear,
Squawk! The three new students seem to have gotten in a fight with one of the Harbingers down on the 8th floor, crashing a car and causing quite the stir, sir. Squawk!
And it's hard to tell because he has an owl face. It's hard to read the exact like kind of emotion that it has because it's almost always just kind of flat. It doesn't really have facial muscles in the same way that humans do. But you can tell that he's upset and angry just by the way he kind of ruffles his feathers a little bit and straightens his back and head turns without the body moving.
Oh, Jesus.
To the three of you. and goes,
"Oh, I hate it."
"Thank you, Miss Jackson." And then, like, presses, like, the button and you hear, like, kind of click off. "So, a scrap with one of the Harbingers on my school grounds. Normally, this would be grounds for immediate expulsion."
"She put us in a car trunk."
"How else would she have gotten you here?" And he kind of, like, cocks his head, like, genuinely kind of asking this question.
"In the rest of the car?"
"Oh, that's rather silly."
"Sitting in the seats?"
"There's more space in the trunk."
"No, there isn't."
And then Dakota's going to lean down and go, "Dorothy, don't fight him, please."
"Don't put me in car trunks, then."
"I did no such thing. The Harbinger did. Now, on to your placement. It would seem the two of you have already started off in a very, very bad standing. But perhaps there are ways to reform such behaviors."
"It's not their fault. It was me. Don't punish them for what I did, please."
Hang on. And Walter is still not making eye contact with the principal. he is looking down at the chair that he is sitting on, and he says, "Look, this is all a mistake. They're not going here. Okay."
"Oh, and you are the one who decides such things, I imagine."
They don't belong here, okay? They've got their own families to get back to."
"I do not remember giving them such placement."
"They're real families."
"Oh, Walter, I would assume that you would have learned by now, but of course, you never change." And he, like, does this kind of... It's a very familiar, like, body language to you, Walter, where he, like, is at first, like, kind of normally, like, a stiff person, where he's, like, always just kind of, like, sitting at attention, even when, like, he's sitting back. Like, you can tell his body is kind of rigid. But there are these moments, and moments that you've noticed before, and is, like, really only a thing you've ever seen him do around you, where... he relaxes and kind of leans back and takes less of a rigid position. It is almost always meant this kind of disappointment. And there's no point in, like, even trying with you, because you're not going to change and you're not going to do better. So there's no point in even putting on the airs of, like, authority, because even if he did, you'd still be the same failure you've always been. And
fuck.
He kind of leans back and says, "Do the two of you understand your situation?"
"No."
And you see he, like, he takes his owl feather hands to, like, rub the side of his temples, picks up his glass of brandy and takes a drink and sets it down. "The Sublime and Sublime County is your home now. There is no going back. Wherever you were before, whatever lives you were living, whatever family you had is gone. But not to worry, for the Sublime provides for those who need it. That is the reason for a Sublime County School for Lost Children. You will be placed within classes so that we can find the perfect place for you here in the Sublime. Be that a job, be that new families, be it whatever. So forget all this going home nonsense, because you are home."
"It's not nonsense."
"It's not nonsense. So tell me, Walter, how is your attempts at leaving?"
"I haven't made a serious attempt in quite some time."
"Oh, I believe not. You haven't made a serious attempt at anything, have you?" "No, Walter. You have done as you have always done, and that is run. Run from responsibility. Run from problem to problem, causing a mess in other people's lives. And you refuse to find order in your life. And if these two kids follow the same path as you, well, there are worse things to be turned into, I would imagine."
That hits like a knife for Dakota. Hearing him talk to Walter that way hits like a fucking dagger. Holy shit.
Mr. Owl, sir?
Principal Ingram.
Mr. Principal Ingram, did the abbots give us up? Is this...
I do not know of any abbots you speak of.
Well, it's just every time that I've had a new family assigned, it doesn't go like this. And the abbots were really nice, and I didn't think that they were...
Oh, child. The Sublime calls out to those in need, those who are lost, and those with no place to truly call home. If you are here in the Sublime, I could only imagine wherever you were before was no true home to you.
Walter jumps on the desk.
Holy shit. Okay.
And I think he does, and this doesn't happen often, but he like snarls and like hisses like a completely like 100% weasel sort of animalistic sort of display of discontent.
Yeah.
And he says, "Don't you dare! I've been here long enough to see through the bullshit that you spout, but I don't you dare be talking to them like this. They had a home. I had a home. Everyone in here had a home, Ingram. And I am going to get them back. I don't know how. Your little lackey that took us from safety and comfort, put us in the trunk of a car, drove us through a school. We could have died. We got hurt. She had a gun. And you think that this is the right place for everyone? I'm not gonna sit here and take your bullshit anymore. I'm never getting out of here. I have accepted that. But they are. It's the only good thing I'll ever do. It's getting them out of here.
Walter, you don't speak for both of us. I don't want to go.
Dorothy does not know what to do. She's looking between the two of them.
The abbots don't want me. You can bring Dorothy back, but I want to listen to what he has to say.
Walter is, like, kind of taken aback by this, and then, like, in that moment realizes where he is and who he is, like, talking to, and, like, the fear sort of sets back in. And he jumps back down to the chair.
Yeah, I think there's this moment as you are like turning to look from Ingram to like Dakota, as she kind of like mutters that and then look back. You see this as smarmy of a look an owl's face can give. like the most like pleased with himself, like kind of like unmoved by everything you've just done. And you like work your way back to your seat. He goes, "Are you done, Mr. Brookstone?"
Walter doesn't say anything.
"That's what I thought. Now,"
and turns to look at the two of you,
"what are your names? Just so that I can better know you two potential students."
My name is Dakota Wallace.
Dakota Wallace.
Dorothy Reed, sir.
"Speak up, girl. I can barely hear you."
"I don't want to be here. I want to go back to the mall. I want to go back to the abbots. I want to go with Walter."
"Well, well, well. Mr. Brookstone, I suppose I must applaud you. You have accomplished something. Corrupting a little girl. It's a shame."
"All right." And he like gets up. He like claps his feather wings together.
"The three of you start classes immediately. And yes, I mean the three of you. You may have run away once, Mr. Brookstone, but it shan't be so easy a second time."
And he stands up and walks over to one of the... I'm imagining there's like a large like wardrobe that's in there. Opens it up. Inside of it, there are like multiple like drawers behind the doors. And he opens one of the drawers, looks inside, grabs out a uniform and turns, and it's a similar kind of green, black and like white kind of plaid uniform that the three of you saw the one girl leave with, or where she was wearing, takes it and puts it in one hand, closes it, opens up another drawer, looks through it, and picks out a brown one, puts it in his hand, close it, comes over, and he hands the two of you, Dorothy and Dakota, he hands the two of you these uniforms. He gives the green one to Dakota and the brown one to Dorothy. Or at least he's holding it out. Do you take it?
I'm going to take it, and then can I look at it and, see what the clothes are like?
Yeah. It's the same kind of, there is a white button-down shirt in there. The green, vest and the matching, skirt. It's, kind of a longer skirt. Not quite long enough to be a dress, but it does come, about at the knee. And then there's, a pair of socks and, I don't know what type of shoes these are, but you know, the plain, black, shoes with, the little strap across it. You know what I'm talking about? Really yeah. Classic shoe. No idea what Mary kind James. Of shoe it is.
Dakota is going to be like, can I get the other uniform, Principal Ingram?
You get the uniform I give you.
No, I just, you got a mistake. I don't want a skirt.
He kind of cocks his head a little bit in confusion.
Don't want a skirt?
No.
I don't want it at all. And I hit it out of his hand and I run.
It out sounds of
the
like
office.
You're
I try to run out of the office.
It sounds like you're trying to do a move.
Sure.
A
little bit of, this is the first roll of the session?
This would be the first roll. Yeah. Do you have a move?
Skidoo, I guess.
Do you have Skidoo? Yeah, do you have Skidoo?
I do have Skidoo.
Yeah, this sounds like it's Skidoo. Time to run. Roll plus steam. so roll plus steam.
It's not good, but I forget. Is it one or two dice?
It's 2d6 plus your steam.
Okay, that's a 7.
On a 7. On a 7-9, you escape but create a complication. You leave something behind, you take something with you, or you create tracks, etc. What complication am I going to give you? I think, there's the most obvious thing here, right? I think in your frustration and in your blind kind of rage as you slap this thing out of his hand, and you run, you leave behind your pumpkin and flashlight. And so you run out of the room.
How would I? All right.
That's the way the roles go. I'm sorry.
I know.
Or actually, I guess, you were sitting with it in your lap. Oh, even better.
Oh God! No! Jesus I leave. I take the thing.
No, you're right. How would you leave it? You would never leave the pumpkin behind, right?
I'd put all my things together in them. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You slap this thing out of your hand as you get up. Everything falls out of your pumpkin, and the kind of confusion, you try to scramble to get some of it, put it back in, and run out before someone can grab you, just kind of instinctually, and you leave Timmy behind.
No, not Timmy.
Okay. And you run, you burst through the door, kind of leaving it open, running. Where instinctually do you think she runs?
Down the stairs that we came up, and I think she has enough of an idea of having been in that one hallway that she knows that it doesn't look good to just it's gonna work to just run. So she's going to just run down a flight or two or something, and then she's gonna look for somewhere to hide.
Okay, so you run down a flight or two, then try to find somewhere to hide. Okay, so yeah, you run off. Dakota and Walter, the two of you, are still in this room. Principal Ingram looks flustered as to what just happened, and says, "Well, that certainly won't do." And goes to close the door so that neither of the two of you go running out as well. And he goes over to back to his desk, kind of standing over it, clicks it. You hear the little beep, and he says, "Miss Jackson,
if you wouldn't mind, one of the children, as I'm sure you've noticed, has run off and is going to get themselves in some form of trouble or another, I would imagine. If you wouldn't mind sending the hall monitor after her.
Of course, Principal Ingram.
Thank you. And he clicks it. And you hear another beep. And he turns his head again, not his body, back towards the two of you as he walks back towards the wardrobe, and says, Mr. Brookstone, I imagine you still do not carry your uniform with you?
I think the sort of absurdity of the question breaks Walter out of his like terror state a little bit, and he like kind of like looks at himself and just kind of goes, no, I suppose not.
Of course. And he opens up another drawer, kind of digs through it, and for some reason, he has a small weasel-sized uniform that is, again, the same kind of like brown, black, and white kind of plaid version of the uniform. And like the version that he gives you just has like the vest, doesn't have like a button down for you, but has like a vest and like a pair of slacks and like dress shoes.
Walter just looks at the outfit and just goes, huh.
Dakota's still kind of like, while you're over there, can you grab the other one for me, please?
Miss Dakota, I thought I made it quite clear the uniform I've given you is the one you shall have. Your insistence on not wearing skirts is a thing you shall have to adapt to.
No, I can't.
But you will. And if you can't adapt, then I'm afraid I will have to transfer you to the brown class. And I'm sure you wouldn't want that.
No, not that I don't. I don't. Could I wear the uniform down there?
You still will have to wear a skirt for as long as your body will allow it.
Okay.
You see there was like this moment where he was kind of stiffening up again as you were like kind of showing this hesitance to like follow his rules. And then like as soon as you give up, you see him kind of loosen slightly. He says, very good. Now, the two of you go change and then meet me back in the office and I shall take you to your classes.
Do we have like lockers to put our things or where do our things go?
Is this you asking him or you asking me?
I was asking you, but maybe I should ask him.
Ask that in character.
Do you have a place for us to put our things?
Ah, yes, your lockers. I need to make sure that I get those arranged for. Thank you very much, young lady. You have a bright future ahead of you, I'm sure of it. Now, scurry along. Go get dressed.
Walter has already put on the vest, I think.
Uh-huh.
I think even beyond school uniform, I think just sees the vest and is like, all right.
Dakota like goes in the bathroom and I guess getting changed and leaves like the pants from their like costume on and puts like the skirt over them.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
As they're both kind of leaving the office, Walter mutters to Dakota. He says, This is how it's going to be forever, you know. If you stay here, you don't get to make your own choices here.
It's not much different than anywhere else.
You all walk out and you go get changed. Meanwhile, we are going to cut to Dorothy. Dorothy, you are just like ran down like a couple of like flights of stairs. You see like there's this like you're coming out like during this like mid period. I'm imagining like as you are running down the stairs, you hear the sound of the school bell ring. It's this loud, thunderous ring that bellows through the halls. And like as you're like running down the stairs, you hear the sounds of like tons and tons of people who are like coming out of classrooms. Like a little bit of chatter, like between like classes and are like moving on to their next space. As you like hit down, like I want to say you probably go like 3 floors down, and like you hit like the base of the stairs, you see like there's just like this large group, like groups of like students who are like moving between halls, and you see that all of the students that you see in these halls are wearing similar uniforms to the ones that you saw before, except instead of like green or brown, these ones are blue, black, and white in the same kind of plaid. And you see like a mixture between like the like vest and the skirts, and like the vest and like slacks, and like all of these kids, like none of them really paying too much attention to you.
Okay, so they're like coming out of class, like it's a passing period kind of deal?
Yeah, exactly. They're kids coming out of classes, meandering in the hall before they go to their next one.
Yeah, I know I'm not in this scene, but actually I was kind of wondering something.
Yeah.
Is anyone, like any of the students, are any of them like talking to each other?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just like silence.
That'd be terrifying.
Yeah, no, they're acting like students. They're talking, joking each other. They're not like rowdy or anything like that, or as far as, you know, you all have been able to tell, but they are talking and like acting like people.
Okay.
Is there a bathroom here?
Yeah, you're trying to find a bathroom?
Mm-hmm. Like a big, like one of like multiple stalls or like changing rooms area, like
so to go and find a bathroom, you're gonna have to start squeezing your way through here because it is tightly packed. So you begin squeezing your way through these people. You're like trying to like move past, and they're just kind of like shoulder to shoulder all around you, again still not really paying you too much attention, just kind of going on about their business as you're looking around for a bathroom. This also kind of sounds like a move that you have. You have, like, stumble upon, right?
Yeah, I do.
Well, this isn't really stumble upon because it's a specific thing that you are looking for.
I would ask, it doesn't quite fall under gander either.
Because those questions don't really. Okay, yeah, we can just say that you, as you are going, okay, I'll make this a roll plus noodle.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a 9.
On a 9, all right. 7 to 9, make success. Cool. Awesome. So for mixed success, you are like moving your way through this crowd of people, and eventually you do see like a kind of sign overhead that like points in the direction of the bathroom. And so you start making your way through, and eventually like you can like kind of see where it is, where you see like some kids kind of like hanging around it. And you push your way through, and as you're doing it, before you get there, you hear like over the intercom of the school.
Oh no.
All students, please report to your classrooms. All students, please report to your classrooms. The hall monitor is on the loose, and you wouldn't want to be caught outside of class.
And immediately you hear like all talking stops. All conversation stops, and immediately people start running into like classrooms. Like they slam their lockers and they just like bounce, like at the drop of a hat. Like there's a moment where you were like back to back with like just a bunch of people, like just slowly squeezing your way through, and like almost like in a blink, these halls are clear. And like you just hear the sounds of like people running through halls, and like there's no screaming, there's no yelling, but there is a quiet panic that happens as everyone immediately makes it to exactly where they're supposed to be. And like almost in that like kind of shock, you hear nothing, and you're just kind of standing there like with your pumpkin looking around at like these clear hallways. And then you start to hear like this snarling coming from down one of the hallways. As you turn to look, you see this huge, and when I say huge, I mean this thing is on all fours and comes up to about like half the height of the room, like maybe 6 or 7 feet tall, just like from like paws to like the top of their back. And you see this humongous German Shepherd. With narrowed eyes, snarling, mouth like dripping with drool, and you can like hear the sound of it sniffing. And it's also wearing similar uniforms to what you've seen all the other teachers wearing. where it's like, it's got like tweed, like tweed pants that are like just like a little too small for its like muscular furry legs, and like there's a hole out the back of it for its tail, and just like this blue and white striped button down with like the sleeves rolled up over like the elbows of its like forepaws. And like its like shirt is bursting at the seams. No. Like this thing is huge. And no. And there's this moment as you're like kind of frozen for a bit where it turns to look at you, and its no. like mouth like kind of like starts holy to part, and its shit. Like jaws like open a little bit, and you just hear like the loudest woof as it starts to pounce at you, and that's where we're going to end this session. No.
Jesus Christ!
Fuck you!
LGBTQIA Actual Play Podcast Network.